Good morning. Welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be learning Mishlei Perek Vav, the sixth perek in the book of Mishlei. This is a longer perek. It is 35 psukim long, and it doesn't seem to have one coherent theme at the first look. Let's take a quick look inside. The first section talks about, in the first five psukim, is a warning. The author, the narrator, is speaking to his son, Bini, Imorav Tolareecho Tokat Lazor Kapecho. The way the Malbim understands this is that you commit to guarantee to one person a piece of land, and then you overcommit yourself, you guarantee it to another person with a tekiyas kaf, with a firmer agreement, which means your second commitment supersedes your first commitment. In this case, nakashta bimrei ficha, you've now trapped yourself with your own words. The only thing you can do is this is what you should do to save yourself. Go leich his parnes or havereecho. You need to go speak to the second person you committed yourself to and explain to them the situation. You can't make the first person you committed to forfeit. This ultimately is your responsibility in order to be able to take care of your initial commitment. That's the first section. The second section talks about laziness. This is Psukim Vov 2 Yud Aleph. In this section, we talk about the following. This is a very famous section. Leich el hanemala atzel, go to the ant, O lazy person, re'e derachel v'chakom, learn its ways and you will become wise. What is that we're supposed to be learning from the ant? It has no policeman, it has no ruler, but nonetheless, it spends all its time during its summer months when things are easy, preparing and gathering foods for the time when it does need it. This is in contrast to the lazy person who says, ma'at shenois, ma'at tenu mois, ma'at chibut yodai, chibuk yodai. A little bit more rest, a bit more of a nap. I just want to spend a little more time, and you end up wasting your entire life procrastinating. That's the second section of this perek. The third section of this perek talks about the yokeless people, a person who's a bli'ol, a person without a yoke, and their characteristics. This is in Psukim Yud Beis to Tezvov, and it describes the characteristics of this person. This person speaks obstinately against wisdom. He lets his eyes stray. He runs to bad things. He points with his fingers at things negatively. He thinks negatively about ideas and he incites quarrels. And ultimately, this person, Alkein Pisom Yovoy Eidoi, it's going to be a very sudden demise for such an individual. We move into the fourth section of the perek, which is now talking about six things which Hashem despises. There are seven things that Hashem hates, and a seventh is a disgusting thing to Hashem. And here they are: arrogant eyes, falsehood on the tongue, hands which spill innocent blood, a heart which percolates evil thoughts, legs which run to bad things, testifying falsely against pristine ideas of the Torah, and finally the seventh, which seems to be one that Hashem hates or is disgusted by, creating quarrels between friends. Meshalech medonim bein achim. It seems that these two sections, by the way, are parallel to one another. The things which Hashem hates are the descriptions of the person who is Belial. That seems pretty clear from this. And finally, the perek concludes with a lengthy section, Psukim Chof to Lamed Vav, warning against adultery. He begs his son to listen to him and adhere to the wisdom he's telling him. He explains that the Torah is something which will accompany his son in the hereafter, in the world after this, and will be his guide. And he warns his son not to adulterate with someone else's spouse. He tells them not to lust after her or even have emotional adultery. Think about and having emotional closeness to a person who is married. And he uses these very powerful images. He says, if a person has a fire on their chest, will their clothes not burn? If a person walks on clothes, will their feet not burn? Meaning to say there's going to be a repercussion to action. There'll be a severe recompense. And he talks about the idea of financially the person losing all their assets. A person who adulterates, he calls them a chasar lev, lacking of heart, because mashchis nashoy hu yasena, they will destroy themselves. They'll find plagues, they'll find embarrassment which will never leave them. They will find only plagues and embarrassment because of the day of reckoning will come and there will be no way to buy themselves out. There's going to be vengeance, whether it mean human vengeance or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very powerful, very scary section to read. Basic questions on this perek are, how do all these ideas hang together? meaning to say we've just discussed five very different ideas. Idea number one is a person who overcommits to one person, then another person. Then there's the lazy person. Then there's the yokeless person with all these bad characteristics, the six and qua seven things that Hashem hates. And finally, the warning against adultery. How do these all hang together in one semblance? Yes, they may not all necessarily be in a perek, which was the perokim, the chapters were added later on. But nonetheless, they're all adjacent to one another. There should be some semblance of a direction or mission in this perek. What is that? It's interesting that Shla HaKadosh says in commenting on the first pasuk in this perek a very powerful idea. As opposed to the way the Malbim reads this perek, the Malbim understands that the beginning is talking about a person who im a rav toleri echa takata kelazor kapecha, that you made yourself committed to one person, your friend, and then you made a overcommitment to another person afterwards. The Shla views this image as actually the same person. Meaning, what is it referring to? We're talking about national history. We're talking about Bashas Matan Torah, says the Shla HaKadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Israel, Tanuli Arevim Sheti Kaimu Esatara. You need to give me guarantors that we will keep the Torah. And they responded, Hare Ovois Arevim Bonu, that the forefathers will be our guarantors. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Chayovim Heim Li Valavai Shiamdu Ba'atzmam. He says, I wish that they themselves would actually keep to their commitment. There's this notion of coming into the responsibility for one another for keeping the Torah. This is a very powerful idea, the idea of arvus, of responsibility for one another. If this is the idea in the perek, it is interesting that this may in fact create the structure of the rest of the perek. If we are responsible for every other Jew who came into the covenant of Sinai, then when we see people who are lazy and wasting their lives away, when we see yokeless people and their negative characteristics, which Hashem hates, when we see people lost in a turmoil of adultery, whether it be adultery mamash, exactly for emotional, for physical reasons, or it be adultery with ideas, with concepts that should not be engaged in, we have to be responsible for our friends. We have to reach out to help. We have to realize that it's not just their problem, but it is our problem too. That perhaps is the framework of this perek, is the responsibility we owe society around us. One other point to focus on is the lessons of the ant. This is a very famous concept of learning from the ant not to be lazy. The perek tells us that to learn from ants, just interesting statistic, just on the leaf cutter ants as an example, that they can make lines where they pass the leaves which they bury to create fungus, and these lines can even be up to 30 meters long. They are able to carry items or pieces of foliage which are 50 times heavier than their own weight. It is known that the leafcutter ants are able to defoliate an entire tree within 24 hours. Just understand the grade of work that the ants perform. This is the lesson the Atzel needs to learn. It is interesting that the Gemara itself in Eruvin Daf Kuf Amud Beis quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if we did not have the Torah, we would learn certain attributes from animals. And the attribute that we learn from the namala, from the ant, is gazel, is stealing. Once an ant has claimed a leaf, a grain, no other ant will take it. Now, that is different to what Mishlei seems to be talking about, and this is actually the topic of a very fascinating ma'amar, a very fascinating essay of Rav Hutner in the first ma'amar in Pesach, in Ma'amari Pachad Yitzchak. But Bir Zemei, it is interesting. I wonder if Rabbi Yochanan was learning from the context of our greater perek, which seems to be how people deal with each other. And there seems to be the idea of theft or taking others' possessions is also part of this perek as well. What Rabbi Yochanan may be doing is saying, not only are we going to learn the ideas of alacrity versus laziness, we're also going to learn the idea of civil decency, of respect of possessions, which seems to be the general topic of this perek as well. We're going to look at two famous psukim which appear in this perek. Number pasuk chof beis is the first pasuk we'll look at. Bisalecha chotanche osach, b'shoch b'cho tishmor lecho, v'akitzoysa hi tesichecha. That when you will walk, it will accompany you. When you lie down, it will guard you. And when you wake up, it will be your speech. What is this referring to? So this is actually, we say, at the siyum of a mesechta, whenever you hear the hadron, at the very end, there's a yiratzan in which this pasuk is quoted. And this is actually to be understood in the context of Mishnah Meseches Avos, in the 6th perek Mishnah Tes. It describes the story of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, who was walking along the way and he met a particular person. He greeted the person and he said to him, "Where do you come from?" The man said, "I come from a ir gedola shel chachamim v'sofrim. I come from a town of sages." So he says, "Would you like to join us? Why don't you come and join us? You know, there's better wealth to be found in the metropolis. Join us in the big city where it's easier to earn money, and I'll even give you money to incentivize it." And I responded to him, "Bani, my son, you give me all the greatest treasures in the world, I will only dwell in the place of Torah." And he goes to say further, and he says, "Rather, because you should understand that the time of the passing of a human being, all the greatest jewels and gems and assets do not accompany you. The only thing that comes is Torah and Ma'asim Tovim." Quoting our pasuk, there's actually three parts to our pasuk. Torah will be that which gives you rest in this world. When you die, it will give you guarding and protection. It'll be the topic of your conversation in the world to come. The Torah is going to accompany us for immortality, and that's why we quote this when completing a mesechta of learning. The other pasuk, which is also famous, is Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or V'Derech Chayim Toichachos Musar. This is pasuk Chav Gimel, where Torah is called light, and the Ner, the candle, is called a mitzvah is called a candle. Why the difference? The Malbim explains that in order to be able to fulfill a mitzvah, you need a body. You need, that's the, in a certain sense, that's the lever, that's the leverage necessary to be able to perform mitzvahs. You need a physical body in this world. However, for Torah, you don't even need a physical body. I remember such a powerful moment at the Siyum HaShas when there was an individual whose name was Mendy, and Mendy was in the late stages of ALS to the point that he was not able to communicate or interact with this world except through eye movements and a computer which was able to read his eye. And he decided to learn Shas, and he was able to be Messiah, 7 years of learning of Torah. He was not able to do anything. He was not able to perform the mitzvahs ma'asiyos in action, but he was able to do a whole lot because of Torah. Torah is always available to us. Torah is our life, and it's, in a certain sense, the light which pervades even the wick or the candle necessary to create it. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.